You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Adam Silver knows this is a player-driven league.
Sports can serve as a unifying force.
I'm tuning in to watch a game. There is no game.
Change is uncomfortable. Uncomfortable maybe to yourself and to a lot of other people.
You know, Black Lives Matter has kind of been lost here.
Players want more done on voting issues. Players want more done on police reforms.
I don't know if we're reacting the way that the players had hoped we would react.
If you're going to be the beacon of light, you've got to go all in.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
How much pressure do you think is on LeBron right now?
Well, it's a lot of pressure. Everyone is expecting you to lead the way. Certain people are built to handle it.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Final hour on this Friday. It's a meat Friday at that. We're having a clam bake, and I ordered some pizzas for the Danettes. Who's got it better than you guys?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah. So that's coming up here. The Traeger's fired up, and we got a clam bake coming up as well. Glad you're part of the program, and whatever way you want to consume, you can dial us up, you can email, you can tweet. The last day for YouTube.com/TheDanPatrickShow. We're officially on Peacock starting Monday. Just letting everybody know who've been watching for the last few months on YouTube. Thank you for your support, and I hope you'll join us with our new partners at Peacock. We say good morning to our great radio affiliates. We're up to 362 around the country. McLovin, what's poll question for the final hour?
Okay, do you want to go NBA here or NFL?
NFL.
NFL? Okay, it's a little early.
No, it's not. We're 13 days away, and I think we...
I had two NFL questions that I wrote down. Do we start talking about who the favorites are for the Super Bowl pick? But I really wanted to do... Who's the favorite to get the number one pick off of the Joe Burrow conversation? Do you have any teams that you're already willing to say are in big trouble?
Well, I'd say Jacksonville is. I don't know how good Washington's going to be, and then you have the health status of Ron Rivera.
Second question, too. Are all these teams, are some of them tanking? Do you think that that's in play? Maybe front office tanking, kind of.
I don't know if Carolina is tanking. Because they did bring in Teddy. You got rid of some players. You had some players leaving on their own, retiring. Jacksonville. If I'm Jacksonville, I would be tanking the best I could. Because if you can get Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, now you got that signature face for the franchise. I like Gardner Minshew, but I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. He's a great story. But you can get Trevor Lawrence. Now you got something to start with here. And you have to have a great quarterback. I mean, it's rare if you're going to be successful and you don't have a quality quarterback, a great quarterback. Yeah, Paulie.
Carolina, they let everybody go. They lost the last eight games of the season, and there's three playoff contenders in their division. Yeah. I would think three wins for them. And if their new owner, Teddy Bridgewater, is like an in-between quarterback that didn't sink a lot of dough into him, it's Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he's a band-aid. Yeah, and if you could get him in Carolina, that would be awesome. So somebody, one of those two teams, Washington, they have Dwayne Haskins, but if they would end up with the worst record, I don't think they would, you know, think twice about not going after Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. Yeah, McLeod.
But we never know. It's hard to predict these things. Like, we didn't know the Cincinnati was going to be the number one pick. They've never been up in that mix. They haven't had number one. No, I mean, like, they weren't coming in as, like, the team. They had Dalton and A.J. Green and a bunch of veterans. Nobody thought that they were going to go 0-11, did they? So it's always a surprise.
Well, I don't think too many people are surprised the Bengals weren't good.
Yeah, but they weren't, like, usually it's the same couple teams. It's the, you know, who's been 1-2 the last few years, like the Lions and the Giants and... You know, we knew all those bets. Like, if you look at this year's, like, I'm looking at the odds right now. The worst teams are Jacksonville, Washington, Cincinnati, Carolina, Jets, Giants. Like, we know those guys are all going to be possibly in the mix.
But it was, like, the Jets were weird last year. Like, they were surprisingly better than you think they should have been last year. And I don't know if you can name more than three or four players on that team right now. And that includes Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell. Like, it's just, I don't know. But in that division this year, you know, you might stand a chance because maybe New England's not as formidable. Miami's going to be competitive. Buffalo, probably the class there. The guy that I'm really curious about, believe it or not, of all the players in the NFL this year, you guys want to take a guess? Yes, McLovin.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray? No. Fritzy?
I don't know why Matthew Stafford came to mind.
No.
You're not curious about
Matthew Stafford. But thank you for being curious about Matthew Stafford. Yes, Paulie.
I'm going deep dive here and saying Derek Carr of the Raiders.
No. Ooh. Seton O'Connor, who am I of all the players this year? This is the guy that I'm really interested in. And it is a quarterback.
Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson, no.
Dang.
McLovin?
Ryan Tannehill?
No. Paulie?
Samuel Darnold?
No.
Oh. Cam Newton?
No. Yes, McLovin?
Josh Allen?
No.
Thomas Brady?
No.
Carson Wentz?
No.
Matt Ryan?
Are there any left?
No.
Nick Foles?
No.
Oh, our guy, the Rams quarterback.
No.
No. Who else is there? Russell Wilson.
Deshaun Watson.
No, no.
Is it a CFL quarterback?
Is it a starter?
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ooh, saucy.
Whoa.
Coming back from this injury.
That was a fun game, by the way.
Kind of rededicating. All right, I'm thinking of one running back here. I'm just kidding.
Something blue.
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger, I find fascinating because you have a really good defense, bordering on a great defense there. And if Ben is able to kind of recapture who he once was, rededicating himself, you know, the Steelers can be a force. They can be formidable here. I don't know. They're not as good as the Ravens are, but I think that they can be challenging to them. And I'm curious about Roethlisberger. Because he doesn't have many seasons left. And you know, by all accounts, he rededicated himself to be coming back, better shape. Had a conversation with his wife about, hey, I'm going to come back. I'm going to play. I'm not going to retire. Because that was a pretty devastating injury to his throwing arm. And I'm really curious about Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, McLovin.
What's your thumbnail take on the Cleveland Browns? They remember all the hype last year? We haven't talked about them much at all.
I wasn't in on the hype last year. I'm in on the hype this year. The Browns will make the playoffs. And I will do a, you guys want to do a wheel of punishment, shower of shame? I'm more than happy to do that if you don't think the Cleveland Browns will make the playoffs. I'm not going to say they're going to win the division. Yes, McLovin.
You just burned us on a shower of shame 3 days ago.
I know I did.
I'm nervous about getting into this. You burned us bad, Dan.
And I got to wait for the Blazers and the Lakers to play. And because Seton took the Blazers double or nothing to beat the Lakers in the next game. It got postponed because Paulie goes, hey, I think Seton's got a loophole here. I go, no, he doesn't. The game wasn't canceled. It was postponed.
I believe it was supposed to be that night. What happened?
Yeah, nice try. Yeah, McLovin.
Now he gets Lillard back on the court for that game?
Yes.
Brilliant. I don't if Lillard is
It's coming. A double or nothing. But if he loses, then he gets two pies to the face. And he doesn't know when he's getting those pies.
Out here playing chess, man. You guys playing checkers.
Yeah.
Saw the whole thing coming.
College football this weekend. Let's go Pee. Austin Pee versus Central Arkansas. Saturday night, they're both ranked in the FCS rankings, and I will be watching. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know if they're letting any fans in there, but I will be watching on Saturday night. We're going to talk to North Dakota State's head coach, Matt Entz. The reason why I'm having him on is North Dakota State has scheduled one game this season. Now, this helps them practice as well. You get more hours if you're going to have a season. So I think it goes from 12 to 20 or something like that. But he's got a great quarterback and Trey Lance. Expected to be a first-round draft pick. And this is a showcase game for him. But I think there's a lot at stake here. What if he doesn't play well? Because right now he's in that little cocoon where you go, oh, man, I'm hearing this guy's great. Like he's done just enough to get on your radar and not just enough where you go, yeah, I saw him. He's not that great. That's the perfect place to be. It's like the quarterback who, like Dwayne Haskins, you know, don't stay, go. Mark Sanchez, you get to that point where you go, Kyler Murray, just go. You don't want to overstay. You don't want to, Matt Leinart stayed an extra year and ended up dropping whatever, 10, 11 spots there. You don't want to overstay your welcome in college football at that position. But we'll talk to Coach coming up here. Also, this is something that Roger Goodell and I'm sure the people on Park Avenue are discussing right now, because we're 13 days away from the start of the NFL season. And by all accounts, everything is good. We have had the NFL put this out. The NFL confirms zero positive COVID tests among players from August 12th through August 20th. Great news. There's one player on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it's Ryan Pope. And he is in the COVID testing quarantine. But that's it. But here's the thing that the commissioner has got to troubleshoot here. And it is going to be a front burner issue. Jim Trotter, great NFL reporter, tweeted out, NFL owners should be careful. A few prominent black players are telling me they want to sit out a game to make their feelings felt and force change slash action. They're tired, frustrated, and emotional. It's only a few at this point, but sparks become flames and flames become infernos. That's from Jim Trotter. 13 days away. What is your game plan if you're the commissioner and the owners? And is there a chance you're going to have marquee players who will sit out a game? Because there's a lot of pressure that's going to build on them. Hey, the NBA did this. The WNBA did this. Some players in the NHL did this. Some players in baseball did this. Mookie Betts did this with the Dodgers. What are you going to do in the NFL? And if you're a prominent player in the NFL, how do you answer that? And I think that's going to be a real topic here in the next week to 10 days. Really do. Yeah, Paul.
I did notice one thing about this. There's a lot of headlines out there. Saquon Barkley amongst Giants players talking about boycotting week one. He and Sterling Shepard were asked about it in a Zoom call, like an access, all media access call. It wasn't an announcement or a proclamation by Saquon Barkley or Sterling Shepard. They were asked, would you guys consider not playing? And they said they did not rule it out. He said, I can't speak on behalf of myself and the whole league, but it's something we are going to talk about. He didn't say we have talked about it. We've planned this. We've had meetings about it. It was a response to a question more so than a declaration, which it's not being portrayed that way in some media.
Yeah, Todd.
And do the Packers in particular feel added pressure the way the Milwaukee Bucks did as far as all the teams?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm gonna say yes. I think it's a smart point to bring up. By the way, I brought up the Jets. They were surprisingly better than people remember. My good friend Ethan, who does our stats. You guys know Ethan.
Oh, Ethan.
The Jets were number 7 in total defense last year, number 2 in rush defense. In their last 8 games, they were 6-2 and allowed only 18.5 points per game. Yeah, McClellan.
It's a little perspective. One of the two was a 22-6 loss to the 0-11 Bengals in December, where they scored 6 points on the number 32 ranked defense in the league. I'm not as blown away by them.
That is stat smack talk there. Yes. Take that, Ethan. I love that. Nerd on nerd crime right there. Well done, McLovin. Well done. Let's see how Ethan responds. Et tu? I don't know what that means. And you? Is that what it is?
Et tu, Brute?
Et tu, Brute?
You'll throw a little Shakespeare out there, Dan. You're not afraid.
Oh, Shakespeare overrated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bill? Yeah. Bill was overrated.
Billy Shakes.
Yeah. I told you, I read that book, Who Wrote Shakespeare? And it's fascinating because it's like a group of writers wrote under the name William Shakespeare. I think there was a William Shakespeare, but it's spelled differently down through history.
He's a Milli Vanilli of classical.
Wow. I don't know if it's that, but I think they kind of wrote under the pseudonym or the pen name of William Shakespeare. Yes, McClellan.
You're secretly the biggest nerd here. You'll come in and be like, oh, I saw this 6-hour play at BAM.
No, that was an 8-hour play, McClellan.
Yeah.
And that's where they read The Great Gatsby. The entire play was reading The Great Gatsby. Yeah. But that's what you do when you're in love.
Oh, so okay, so you were pushed into that.
Oh yeah, yeah. My wife said, I got this great thing that we'll go into the city and we're going to watch this play. And it's called The Great Gats. And I go, okay, well, who's in it? Oh, nobody you know. But I said, well, what's great about it? They read The Great Gatsby. And I go, and what else? That's it. And I go, okay. And so we got in there. And all of a sudden, Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio are sitting one row in front of us. And Toby stayed for the entire thing. DiCaprio tapped out halfway through. Yes, he.
How did you stay awake? I don't mean that it's like any type of slight about The Great Gatsby, but just when people are reading, you just tend to fall asleep.
Well, once again, when you're in love, I gave my undivided attention.
to Leo.
But we had a dinner break. So you have like 3.5 hours, and then you have a dinner break where we went to a restaurant around the corner.
How long was the break?
It was like an hour dinner break.
How do you psych yourself up to get back in that chair to sit down and listen to them read more? You go, you get some food, you got a full belly. Now you're really tired because you probably had a drink.
And
then
you're
like, oh, great. All right, let's go sit down again. Listen to more reading.
And then my wife goes, come on, if Leonardo DiCaprio is going to sit through the second half. I walked in, and he had bailed. And I said, hey, DiCaprio bailed. Like, so I should be able to leave.
He went through 3 girlfriends in the course of the night.
Yes, Todd.
Did you take any occasional peeks at your wife just to make sure? Is she into this as much
as she was.
She really was.
Thought it was fascinating. Yes, McLeod.
I could have told you Gatsby dies at the end. Spoiler alert. The book came out in 1920. I could say that.
Yeah. But I didn't know that because I didn't read The Great Gatsby.
Oh, you didn't have to do that one in high school? I'm not bragging. I had to read it in high school.
No, it's. I think I got through Beowulf, and that was about it. Like, not good.
What's that one? The guy about the chocolate salesman or something? There's some kind of famous book about a guy that sells chocolate. That's the kind of school I went to.
Willy Wonka?
Oh, I love that.
No. Was that a Johnny Depp movie?
Like, oh, no, you know what I'm thinking
of? Like Water for Chocolate?
No, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Death of a Salesman.
Chocolate. I didn't know he sold chocolate.
The chocolate salesman?
If it was called Death of a Chocolate Salesman, yeah, then a whole different market.
I would have loved it.
No, you know what it actually is? Oh, my God. I can't believe I just remembered that. In my class, it was Death of a Salesman, and my English teacher's husband was a salesman for Hershey's, and people would say Death of a Hershey Salesman. Oh, what a terrible joke. What a terrible joke. Wow. Okay, I haven't thought of that in 30 years. Well, maybe 25. Sorry, yeah. Sidebar.
Yes, McLovin, what?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the 2000 indie film Chocolat with Julia Benoist.
Chocolat. Yes.
Chocolat.
Is this fun to say?
Yes. Is that Juliette Binoche? Is that her name?
Yeah, and I think Judy Dench is in that one, too.
The dude plays
Zach Galifianakis?
No,
not Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp.
Oh, I thought he was in, like, Water for Chocolate.
No, you got Chocolat and, like, Water for Chocolate confused.
Oh, God.
Friday.
I know.
I think it's Saturday.
I'm going to take a break here. We need to take a break. Coming up, we'll check in with, I also got a story. Do you guys want to talk about Todd's bad bagel situation? Yes, everybody does. Seton?
Not really, but he's been teasing it to us for 4 straight days. So,
because this is the 3rd straight day that he sent me an email saying, hey, bagel nightmare story in my back pocket. And, okay.
I've oversold it at this point, but it's worth mentioning.
You know what? After we talk some football with the North Dakota State head coach, okay? And then you could tell the bad bagel story.
That seems fair.
All righty. 20 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. We have college football this weekend. And I'll be watching Saturday night, Austin Peay versus Central Arkansas. These are 2 good teams. They're ranked FCS. But when it comes to the FCS, it's North Dakota State, 16-0 last year, beat James Madison to win the title again. And Matt Entz is their head coach who joins us this morning. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm good, Dan. Thanks for having me on today.
All right. Explain to me, you're playing one game this year. Now, was there any thought, any hope, any chance of playing more than one game this year?
Well, originally, it was our intent when our conference allowed us to play three non-conference in the fall. Our administration was trying to find those three games, and we probably went through six or seven options, and it just became extremely difficult. As you see, our geographical location doesn't allow for many road or just bus trips to play people. And so we were fortunate to come up with the one game. You know, I know you mentioned it, 16-0 last year, but the one thing about NDSU, we got great tradition, great history. We play football here, and so we needed to have at least one game this fall.
Any Division I teams? I know you were slated to open up with Oregon, I believe, but any? Have you heard from any other schools that wanted to schedule you?
Not at this time. We have. We there was always conversation. There was what ifs, but we never had anything really in stone leading up to this game against Central Arkansas.
What does playing one game allow you to do as a coach?
Well, what it's going to allow us to do here moving forward is we're going to get 6 weeks of 20-hour rule. That's going to enable us to continue to coach our kids, practice on the field, get our young kids indoctrinated into what it takes to be a Bison. And more importantly, it's going to help us prepare for our 8-game season that we intend to have in the spring.
All right, you're going to play this game on October 3rd at home against Central Arkansas.
Correct.
All right. So you'll be watching that game on Saturday night with Austin Peay and Central.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. We'll be watching.
Okay. A lot. What came out about the you're going to play one game is that Trey Lance is your star quarterback. He threw, 28 touchdowns, no interceptions last year, and is moving up the draft boards here. How important is this? Is this a showcase game for Trey Lance, in your opinion?
It's funny you bring that up. We just had a team meeting yesterday, and we talked about the exact same conversation. Our local media, national media, have talked about, they've used the word showcase often. I told our players this game is not about one player or one individual. Our program's bigger than me. It's bigger than any one individual on our football team. This is about the Bison, and it's about the Bison trying to continue the tradition we've had, the level of excellence that we've tried to play with over the course of the last 10 years. We're trying to find ways to continue to get better. And it happens that we have a couple really good football players along the way, but they're just parts of the program. We're going to move forward trying to win this game and get better along the way.
Yeah, but there's a lot at stake, it feels like, if it is framed as showcasing Trey Lance. If he doesn't play well, that could have an impact. Even if he does play well, people are probably going to say, well, it was against Central Arkansas at home. So I didn't know if it was, in your mind, going to be it felt like people are overthinking this to say they're basically having a pro day for Trey Lance against Central Arkansas in October.
No, that was never our intent. Our intent was to have a game where we could get the entire football team ready to play a game in October.
If I had not seen Trey Lance play, how would you describe him?
Unbelievably calm, poised football player. Has great mobility, has an unbelievably strong arm, can make all the throws on the football field. And his biggest factor or the biggest positive is above the shoulders. He's an extremely intelligent young man, has a lot of room to continue to grow and develop and learn. But where he's at right now is very impressive as a 20-year-old college quarterback.
Did any Division I team try to get him to transfer?
Not that I'm aware of. Now, Dan, as you know, there's a lot of bat phones. There's a lot of DMs that probably happen that the head coach never gets a chance to hear about. But that is always a concern at our institution because of the quality of athletes we have and the development that we put into our kids.
What do you think he does better than Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields?
He's the best Trey Lance that I know. I'm not here to compare to other quarterbacks. I know that he has a great skill set. I know that there's a huge conversation going on right now where he fits in the NFL draft. And all I know is he's NDSU's first round draft pick right now. And we're going to continue to win games, and we anticipate winning games with Trey in the future.
Yeah, are you going to be getting some phone calls, though? Have you already gotten phone calls on Trey from NFL scouts?
We've and we're fortunate now at NDSU. Our product on the field's been good enough that we have 32 NFL teams come through our fall camp and through spring every year, and so they've all kept track of Trey. But we've also myself, I've reached out to probably a half dozen NFL GMs and had some one-on-one conversations just where he falls, because I see it as part of my job as a head football coach not to influence his decision, but to make sure he has all the information necessary to make the best decision for him and his family.
I got to get up to Fargo. I got to get up there to a game.
Well, there's a game October 3rd. I don't know why you want.
I don't know if I could get there though, Coach, but if I hit town, where am I eating when I get to Fargo?
Oh, there's a nice place downtown called Mezzaluna's. If you like steak, there's a place in West Fargo called Maxwell's, another great steak place. That's one thing about Fargo. Unbelievable downtown. You'd enjoy it. Dan, you would fit right in. I don't know if anyone would even recognize you.
Oh, well, then I don't want to go. I need to be recognized here, Coach. I was hoping for a parade or something.
Well, we can get that set up. There's always the option of a coin toss.
Oh, that I would be there to do the one with the coin toss?
Well, we could sure talk to people about
okay.
it.
Okay. I would like to ride in on a bison, though.
There's those around town as well.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What are you benching these days?
I'm probably around 300 still. Okay. I still like to get in the weight room occasionally.
All right. Throw it around with your boys in there.
Well, I have two teenage high school football players, and they actually have their first game tonight. So during quarantine, I got an opportunity to lift quite a bit with my boys.
It's great to see you. Thank you, and good luck that game. We'll be watching, and thanks for joining us, and congrats on all the great success up there.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Dan.
That's Matt Entz. He's North Dakota State head coach. Yeah, they just win championships there. We go back to when Carson Wentz was there, and I remember Paulie coming in, and Paulie is great at singling out these quarterbacks. Like when Russell Wilson went to Wisconsin, when Jimmy Garoppolo was at Eastern Illinois, we would come in and we would just nerd out. We'd be like little, you know, giddy schoolgirls. You know, we're talking about Carson. Did you see Carson Wentz? He's so good. He can do it all. He can run. He can pass. And Russell Wilson, I don't care. They say he's too short. He's not. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's really good. You got to watch Eastern Illinois. Like, it feels like we do that every year. Then Easton Stick at North Dakota State. Paul goes, Easton Stick, man, he can play.
Mostly based on his name is my breakdown.
Had a great name, Easton Stick. Yeah, Paul.
But those FCS, I still call it 1AA games, are so much fun. They play, you know, you get up there in Montana or Eastern Washington, and there's some weather. Maine Black Bears, a lot of those teams, they play out, and there's not, you know, they can't clean the field perfectly on a November day. And by the way, Matt Entz, they better hold on to that guy.
Yeah.
They better lock him down.
Yeah. Didn't they have, was it Bowles who went to Colorado for North Dakota State? It feels like they've had a...
They'll keep going.
Yeah. It's quite an atmosphere there. And that's a great home field advantage. All right, let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Nice to talk some football there with Coach. By the way, it's a meet Friday, and that means the Traegers are fired up. You can take your game day to the next level visiting your local Traeger dealer. Heading to TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Todd has his bagel nightmare story. He just emailed me again that he would like to tell that story. So, Todd, walk us through your bagel nightmare story. And I will preface this by saying, should we be hearing this as we get ready for our Meat Friday clam bake?
No, it's nothing gross that's going to ruin your appetite. It's just it's something that I became very disappointed
in. Okay.
About.
All right. So here is Todd Fritz with his bagel nightmare story.
Okay, I have a question first. Can I name the company, or that could be a future sponsor? We should leave the company out of
it. Is it necessary to name them?
I don't think so.
Like a bagel?
Although I did send them a note yesterday complaining about the situation that I'm experiencing in my town.
How about just a bagel chain?
Yeah, that's fair.
Well-known bagel chain.
That's fair.
How's that? Okay.
Okay, so I'm going home from work Tuesday. I'm having a craving for a bagel, or in my case, a couple of bagels. So I go into the drive-thru, and I ask for, you know, an onion bagel with cream cheese. They stop me right there and saying, we don't have any onion bagels. I'm like, all right, so, you know, that happens. You run out of bagels sometimes. It's 2:30 in the afternoon or whatever, and it's been open since 5, 6 in the morning. You run out of certain types of bagels. So then I asked for a garlic bagel. Didn't have that either. So I was disappointed about that. Then I go to, then how about a sesame? And they stop me again. No sesame bagels. So kind of sarcastically, and I've been known to be a little sarcastic slash passive aggressive. Okay, why don't you tell me what bagels you do have? And we'll go from there, is what I said. I don't know if that sounded rude, but I'm 0-3 in the bagels that I was requesting.
How did you say it, though?
I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Why don't you tell me what bagels you do have, and then we can...
That's like a jerky that I would say.
I was very hungry, and I was very frustrated that three bagels in a row they don't have.
Okay.
I did say it a little sarcastically.
Okay.
So then I go on to say, okay, so I'll have tuna on, and before I can ask for the fourth type of bagel that they may or may not have, we don't have tuna. So I'm like, this is like getting ridiculous. I thought I was being... So I said in a not so nice term, it's like, all right, you got to be kidding me, right? That's a little not nice to say that. Like, is this a joke? Are you kidding me? I've asked for a sesame bagel. I've asked for an onion bagel. I've asked for a garlic bagel. I've asked for tuna. None of those things they have. So I'm feeling like I'm going to the pizza place and saying that they don't have a slice of pizza or something like that. So anyway, moving on. I asked for those bagels. They don't have that. So I'm like, okay, why don't you just give me, you know, I got an egg, sausage, and cheddar on a plain bagel, and I called it quits. I go around the corner, and I said, you know, again, because I couldn't leave that alone because I look forward to a nice onion bagel. So I said, what's the deal with the, you know, so you just ran out of onion bagels? And all these, oh, not only did they run out of onion bagels, they're discontinuing making onion bagels. So I proceeded to get even more sarcastic when I found out that tuna and onion bagels are now off the menu at this bagel place. I don't know if it's just my town or the whole chain. They're shutting down. She said tuna, chicken, and onion bagels for some reason are not being made anymore by this bagel store.
Yes, Paul.
I just have a quick question to set the scene. Are you arguing with the president of the company, the ordering person at the headquarters? Hold on.
Yeah.
Or a 17-year-old high school girl is taking your
order? That's a very good point. This was by a teenage girl, and I just was just flustered, and I didn't even care who the recipient of my wrath was and my frustration that this was going on. And I said, so what's going on? So you have ran out of onion bagels? She goes, yeah, we're not making onion bagels anymore. No tuna and no chicken. They're all gone from the menu. So sarcastically, I couldn't let it go. I said, and so that the manager who was behind her can hear me, I said, so is this like pandemic-related? What would COVID have to do with making onion bagels or tuna? No, we're just not having that on the menu anymore. And those are two things I really look forward to. A nice tuna on a bagel, an onion bagel with cream cheese, onion bagels and tuna and chicken no longer available at this bagel place. I don't know if that lived up to the hype of the last 4 days.
Wait, is that that's the story?
Yeah, they didn't have it. I thought they were like punking. I thought I was part of some kind of TikTok or someone was filming something. That they didn't have the sesame bagel or the onion bagel or the garlic bagel. They didn't have tuna.
Yeah.
And that they're not making onion bagels and tuna ever again.
Yes.
I think this is actually just a preview of Todd's new stand-up. That's essentially what going to watch him do stand-up was.
And
was exactly
and
that
I got the
story.
Same amount of reaction and laughter.
No jokes, but a funny story.
Yeah. Well, it's a long story, and then there's no ending.
It was an experience that I had.
No, it's not.
I didn't sell it as a part of a comedy routine. I wanted to share this, and I was really upset, and I still am. The whole time I drove home, I'm looking at my facial expression in the rearview mirror because I was getting like lightheaded.
Yes.
So somebody in chat room has made a wonderful observation. Brandon in Florida, he said, "I love the places Fritzy chooses to breathe in his sentences." Because he's just running through all of these. Because I like a nice onion bagel. I'm very much looking forward to one. And that
Paulie has to tell Todd sometimes to slow down. Like you, when you blow right through the breathing stop signs.
I ran through about four of Paulie's stop signs.
Yes.
Calm down.
Yeah, Todd, when you go to breakfast restaurants mid-afternoon, there is a chance that they'll be out of the product.
I accepted the first one, and then the second one, and then it became like four different bagels. They're not going to make onion bagels anymore? Isn't that a pretty popular bagel? If you're playing Family Feud and name top five bagels, it's not going to be like pumpernickel or raisin, you know, blueberry, whatever. Wouldn't onion bagel be one of the main bagels probably? It's like pepperoni isn't that one of the main things you would get on a slice of pizza, pepperoni? That's how I look at onion bagels. If you're not going to get a plain bagel, is an onion bagel, why would they stop making onion bagels?
Yeah, but the girl who's working there has nothing to do with this.
But
you yelled at her.
I'm giving all these different suggestions. Could I have this bagel? No, we have this bagel. No, I have this bagel. No.
But it's not her fault.
I know, but I needed an explanation. And the manager was no use. Because she turned to the manager and said, he wants to know if it's because of the pandemic that we're not making onion bagels or tuna anymore. Who ever heard of such a thing? Why is chicken and tuna and onion bagels banned from this bagel place?
What's a chicken bagel?
I don't know. I guess they have different meats. You can get a turkey sandwich. You can get chicken.
I've never had a chicken-flavored bagel.
I didn't care about the chicken, but tuna, and that hit home for me. No onion bagels ever again in this bagel place. And
this has now become my nightmare bagel.
It's also a small town where there's not like 11 other bagel places. Either Dunkin' Donuts or this bagel place.
You're my Karen.
I'm not in like in a major city.
Yes, Paul.
You know, Todd, you not being able to have two salty, doughy, huge bagels
it's probably best for me,
after skipping breakfast and lunch is probably the best thing that ever happened.
You're right. It's carbs that I definitely don't need, and I could probably a gluten-free diet with my Crohn's.
McLovin, do you want to enter this?
Yeah, this is the worst story I've ever heard in my entire life. I know. They didn't have an onion bagel? That's
story? No, not that they ran out of it. They're discontinuing onion bagels. They're not making onion bagels ever again until
you're
further
insane.
Notice. And they're not going to have tuna fish ever again. And it has nothing to do with COVID-19 or anything going on in the world.
Yeah,
they just stopped. They just took it off the menu. Onion bagels.
Do you realize this is the most engaged and passionate you have been?
Well, I wanted to weigh in on the Broncos Titans and you shut me down.
In the 17 years I've known you.
Onion bagel.
What is in an onion bagel?
Discontinued until further notice.
Who comes up with such a thing? Is that what? That seems very random. You know, no more poppy seed bagels.
We're going to take a break.
No more. I don't understand how
take that. Take a break.
I know you want to take a break.
Slow down. I know, but you can talk during the break.
I can't
punish this audience anymore than
I get cravings for an onion bagel with cream cheese. That's off the plate now.
Sorry. I might be on an island, but I loved that story. I loved it.
It's fantastic.
I absolutely loved everything Todd just said.
It's continuing the bagels. Not that we're out of onion bagels. We're not making them ever again. An onion bagel.
Okay.
No longer on the menu.
We're going to take a break here.
Not COVID.
Be back after this.
Onion bagel.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. It's been a long week. Thanks for being patient, trying to figure all this stuff out in real time. This goes out to the memory of Lute Olson, the great Arizona head coach who just passed away at the age of 85. During the commercial break, we were trying to wrap our head around Todd's story, his section row bagel story. It's a true story there. That's as animated, angry, passionate as I've heard you about anything in a long time.
Now, you would think it would be about a sports topic. It is a three-hour sports show, but it was the bagel thing.
But do you feel like you're in the right here?
Yes. I just think it's insane. I was fine with the fact that a couple of the bagels by 2:30 in the afternoon, after being open since 5, 6 in the morning, may have been gone. But then to find out that they're not making onion bagels anymore and that tuna is off the menu, it just put me into a bad place. And poor 18-year-old teenage girl at the drive-thru cashier area there, you know, I'm just going off on her and being very sarcastic and dismissive, which isn't cool.
So you're in the right. You don't feel
I feel bad about how I spoke with my sarcasm with an 18-year-old girl who has no control over.
So you weren't in the right.
I was in the right about being disappointed that they're not going to make onion bagels and tuna anymore. But I should have asked for the manager and went off on the manager about it. Not that the manager controls the menu either. It's the head of the company because it's a chain, but whatever.
There's something he said. He goes, there was something about no onion bagels and no tuna and being taken off the menu put me in a bad place.
I don't want to diminish it. I went to a dark place. I was looking at myself in the rearview mirror. I was driving home because I was getting sweaty, more sweaty than I normally am. And I was getting a little pale and I felt the blood pressure going up. I'm like, what do you mean they're not going to make an onion bagel anymore? It doesn't make sense.
All right. Settle down.
Doesn't make sense.
All right. I gave you a meat Friday. You got clam bake out there.
I'm in better spirits.
I got pizza out there for you. This, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, according to two college football people familiar with the Big Ten, talks have generated a new option, starting a Big Ten season of at least 8 games the week of Thanksgiving. They spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the matter. The Journal Sentinel reported earlier this month, league officials were working on a plan to play an 8-game season beginning in January with the games to be played in indoor facilities. I'll go back to what I was told, and I brought this to your attention, of letting the students be on campus until Thanksgiving and let the football team then come on in after Thanksgiving. And this is what I think some schools are going to try to pull off. Then you don't have to worry about the students. You can quarantine or bubble your football players. All the other universities you're going to be playing in the Big Ten will do the same thing, have the same guidelines, and it's the heart of winter. So trying to find indoor stadiums to play after Thanksgiving might be a little bit of a challenge. But I'm not surprised at this at all, but the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that maybe there's an 8-game season for the Big Ten. I thought that there was a solution to this. I thought that they kind of closed up shop early. with the Big Ten and Pac-12. Pac-12, I was told all along, they were not playing football this fall. Big Ten, I thought there was at least a glimmer of hope. And if I just can't imagine being an Ohio State fan going, wait a minute, now we can have high school football in Ohio. The Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals are going to play. The University of Cincinnati is going to play. But the Ohio State is not going to play. But maybe, maybe you'll see something after Thanksgiving. David in Arizona. David, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. David from Tucson. Long time, first time. 5'8", hard 160. So thanks for the loot shout out. Just wanted to call in and pay my respects to the Hall of Fame coach of the University of Arizona, Robert Luther Olsen. Also got a stat of the day in honor of Moot, if Seton can cue up Darius Rucker.
Oh. Okay.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Darius. Darius changed his voice a little there.
That's all right. In 1997, University of Arizona, led by Lute Olson, became the first and only team to defeat three number one seeds in the same tournament and route to a national championship, beating Blue Bloods Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky.
Well done.
Rest in peace, Lute.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you. Well done there,
thanks,
David.
Thanks for the call.
All
enjoy
right.
Your meat Friday. Suck it back, bro.
Okay.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes the stat of the day, stat of the day. Stat of the day, here comes the stat of the day.
There we go.
All right. There, we got it in there.
No onion bagels at Brugger's anymore.
This day... Oh, you were supposed to mention...
Oh,
I just said, we weren't mentioning the bagel place.
Threw him under the bagel.
Under the bagel bus.
No onion bagels or tuna.
Okay. Paulie, this day in sports history.
Dan, it's this day in bagel history. David Gussin of Queens invented the everything bagel in 1980. He said he put poppy seeds, sesame seeds, salt, and onion. David Gussin of Queens takes credit for coming up with the bagel that included onions.
And no tuna.
This day in bagel history.
Got any chicken. Who puts chicken on their bagel?
I don't care about the chicken. Onion bagel is, to me, is one of the top five popular bagels. Maybe even top three. I could be wrong.
Why don't you just go to a grocery store and buy one?
Because this is the place I like to go to. It has, you know, drinks and options, and it's on my way home. It's convenient, and I just don't understand. It's like not being able to have pepperoni on your pizza.
Final results of the poll question, McLeod. I'm exhausted.
Which QB storyline are you most excited for?
Exhausted.
Still Brady 1, Burrow 2.
Yeah. There's a curiosity to start the season with these rookie quarterbacks. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program, Toddler.
Yahoo's Chris Haynes says LeBron, Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala, and CJ McCollum among those responsible for saving the season.
McLovin?
No other show has a lunatic like our lunatic,
no,
not Fred.
No. And people always go, is that an act with Todd? I go, no, it's not. Seton O'Connor.
Onion bagels.
Yep.
Out.
Yep. I can't get one.
Brugger specifically.
Paulie.
Section Row Bagel.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. You can start online. Their network of independent attorneys provide advice when you need it the most. Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Safe weekend. Talk to you on Monday right here on the Dan Patrick Show.